What if it takes all of your energy to get up the courage to do something, and you do something really big and it doesn't turn out exactly as you expected, and it happens in front of the entire world? What do you do with that? How do you live your life and turn that into a winning hand? We're going to talk about that today. What's my story? Hey, y'all, what's happening? Robert Kennedy III, RK3, that's me. Welcome to another episode of the What's My Story podcast, the show where we divest and we look at pivotal moments in people's lives that really help them to get to their level of success that they are at now. And so I know if you're anything like me, you've got a story, you've got a moment in your life that allowed you to navigate and move to where you are. And every guest that we have on the show share stories of inspiration, share stories of motivation, and sometimes they'll share stories that even if we know who they are, we may not have been aware of those stories. But before we get into our story for today, I want to say to you, do me a favor. If you have any thoughts, if you want to know when we're going live, if you want to know how to become a better storyteller, boom, text me 410-936-4049, 410-936-4049. If you want to become a better storyteller, join me in the Storytellers Growth Lab. And finally, if you want to be supporter of the show, let me see if I can get that right. There we go. Oh, yeah, there we go. All right. If you want to be a supporter of the show, head on over to rk3tv.live/BMAC. Don't forget, we do the audio version of these podcasts every Thursday. They get launched every Thursday morning. If you're not able to join us live on video, but you want to listen and check this out in your car, make sure that you go to whatsmystorypodcast.live and you can get the audio version there. And you can listen to that. Well, actually, you can go to Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Pandora and everywhere that you listen to podcasts. And you can listen to these episodes again and get all the great golden nuggets from them every Thursday morning. Now, I want to share with you our guest for today. Ooh, yeah. If you don't know who he is, where have you been? Have you been under a rock? My goodness. William Hung was on, what was it, season 3, season 4? I don't remember what number it was. I think it was season 3 of The American Idol. And he gave such joy to the world, not just because of his performance, but because of his attitude, the way that he showed up on stage, the way that he showed up in the room when he performed. And he got paid back for that energy as well. It's been one of the launching pads of his success. So he is the founder and CEO of William Hung Academy. He helps people to live a bold and confident life. He helps people through the 3 principles that he's learned from his poker as entertainment business to help set aside wishes, judgment, and drama in search of what is right and true in life. He speaks on topics related to finding the right level of confidence. He believes that everyone has a right to try something new, oh my goodness, without being ridiculed or judged. But he also wants people to find their courage, chase their dreams authentically without abandoning their current responsibilities. Listen, I know we're going to have a good time today. Welcome to the stage. Let's hear the story of my dude, my new friend, William Hung. William, what's happening, brother?
Hey, Robert, that was a great intro, man. Great energy. I love it.
Listen, I'm so glad that you're here today. It's so good to be connected with you. I'm glad that we were able to get connected on Facebook. So here's the deal. I know that some people have seen you on American Idol. They've seen replays. They've seen the YouTube videos. They've seen all of that. And we're going to talk about that story in just a moment. But I see that in some of your pictures, you got these poker cards in your hand, man. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in your world of poker.
Well, I love poker since I was young. I played since 2004. So it's like after my American Idol, I thought it was a fun game where you could excel in your own creative way. So that's what it's all about. I just want something that's different from what I've been doing with singing and performing.
Yeah, nice. So let's back up. You said singing and performing. So was singing and performing something that you always wanted to do, always knew you would do? I mean, how long has that been a dream or a goal or an idea of yours?
For singing and performing, I wasn't too happy with civil engineering. I wasn't excited to go to class, study everything there is to it. And I thought I needed to find a different path. That's why when the talent show came to UC Berkeley, I went to audition with Ricky Martin's She Bangs.
So everybody knows. I wish we could have played a clip on the show. We won't go into the clip. But you, so you go into the show, and let's talk a little bit about that. A lot of people see what they see on TV. Tell us a little bit about the behind the scenes. What was happening with the producers? How did you get picked to be in the room with Simon Cowell and everybody else?
I just tried like everybody else in front of thousands of other people. It was a long line, long process, but somehow the staff members like me, the producers like me, they gave me a chance to be in front of Randy, Paula, and Simon.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what was that like for you? Was it nerve-wracking? Were you scared? What was happening emotionally for you, internally for you, as you were going into this stadium, into this big building with all of these other auditioning people who have these dreams, right? They're dreaming of being the next American Idol.
Yes. I wasn't too nervous in the initial rounds. I was only nervous when I know that I'll be auditioning in front of Randy, Paula, and Simon, because I knew there was always a chance that my audition could be viewed by millions of people.
Wow. Let me ask you this. What gave you the courage to do this? Because there are a lot of people, and please forgive me for saying it this way.
Right? It's okay.
but there are a lot of people who are phenomenal singers.
Right. Very talented. Right.
And they don't have the courage to audition or to go in front of the world in this way. Right. Yes. So what gave you the courage to say, you know what? I'm just going to go in and just do it. What gave you the courage to do that?
Well, I won the talent show in school. So that gave me a dose of confidence. And then I would say the other part of it is the mindset. To me, the way I look at risk taking is, what is the worst thing that can happen to you if it doesn't work out? Wow. And for the American Idol audition, it's not a big deal. If the American Idol audition didn't work out, I don't make it to Hollywood. I just go back to being a normal student. I try other side hustles. I try other endeavors and then see what happens from there.
Wow. So during this time, you're an engineering student, you're saying, right?
Yes.
What's happening in your mind? What's happening in your world? I mean, you're saying that engineering was kind of boring. You know, you've got a master's degree in business administration. A lot of people don't know that. They think that, okay, it's William Hung, just this guy that interviewed or this guy that auditioned. But you have a solid background, degrees in mathematics, degrees in business administration, and you were doing engineering. What was happening in that space that made you say, you know what? This is not where I want to be. I need to try something else.
I don't feel naturally passionate about the subject. And that's how you know. If you feel you have to procrastinate every day, you struggle just to get your homework done, barely pass your test, that's how you know that's probably not the right feel for you. Because the right feel for you is something that you are naturally curious, and hundreds of hours will pass by. You put in the effort, you work hard, right? Anything in life, you have to work hard. But when you work hard, you feel like, in a way, it's like play. In a way, you feel satisfied inside your heart.
Yeah. So you go in to this audition. right? You decide you're going to get up your courage. You go to the audition and you make it in front of Randy and Paula and Simon. And I remember this. You're singing She Bangs, right? You're doing your moves and the song finishes. And there is this awkward moment of about 3 or 4 seconds before Simon, Randy, or Paula say anything to you. You finish your song and there's this silence. What are you thinking right at that point?
Well, I knew I didn't make it to Hollywood. I could tell from the reactions from Simon frowning, from Randy putting his white sheet of paper to cover up his face. So I was ready for the worst criticism from Simon. And not surprisingly, he said something like, "You can't sing, you can't dance. So what do you want me to say?"
Wow. So you're ready for the worst. Being ready for the worst, does that have anything, does that protect you in any way? Or do your emotions change when you're ready for the worst? I mean, because I could be prepared for the worst, but then when it actually happens, that's a different story inside of me. I mean, tell me a little bit about that in your space, man.
The way I approach this situation was I told myself I didn't have control over how the judges would react. I only had control over how I respond. Wow. And one of the teachings that I really appreciate is actually from my mom. My mom taught me since I was young, it's okay to fail as long as you tried your best. Wow. So when I remember that in my head, that's when I was able to put my chin up and respond positively.
Love it. Love it. And I think that response was one of the things that endeared you to all of America as they watched this scene play out in front of them. So you finish the audition. Simon says what he says. Randy says what he says. Paula says what they say. And then you go home and you wait until the show is actually aired. And then when the show is actually aired, you kind of become like this media darling. America is now saying, wait, this wasn't the greatest song ever, but we love this guy. What starts to happen in your world at that point?
I started getting like random emails from Entertainment Tonight, Ryan Seacrest show. And then when I went back to class, students would recognize me. They would like, "Oh my God, aren't you that guy from American Idol?" And then some of them asked me for pictures and autographs. And that's when I know things started to snowball. I was like, "Wow, what happened? I was just this normal guy, no expectations. And then all of a sudden people recognized me."
Wow. Well, so what did you do with that? Did you say in your mind, "I'm going to capitalize on this opportunity, on this infamy, on this attention, or did you just let it go? I mean, let it flow.
That's a good question because my intention wasn't to, you know, capitalize. You know, that was not my starting point. And then what I noticed the first few weeks right after my American Idol audition back in 2004. I noticed there were a lot of people selling my t-shirts, my merchandise, without my permission. It's like other people were taking advantage of me. And that's when I had to step in and I had to fight back.
Wow. Okay. So when you say step in and fight back, what did you do at that point? What did you start doing?
My parents they were definitely watching the news as well, and they suggested that, you know, we definitely need to get a lawyer, you know, do like a cease and desist, that sort of thing, make sure that you know, I'm taking ownership of my, you know, property. That's really all it is, right? It's not about being mean to people, but it's about, you know, just letting people know, hey, this is my, you know, me, right? You're using my face, you're using my likeness here.
So I want to talk about this transition. So you finish this, people start calling you, you start getting a lot of different attention, both in school and from the national networks, etc. And IP, intellectual property, becomes a challenge. And now you begin to see certain things. So we know that now you poker is one of the things that you do. As a matter of fact, you're a professional poker player. So I want to go through how that started, or what that journey was like for you. But before we do that, I want to share a word from our sponsor for today.
Are you still struggling to plan your next event? Let us rescue you. It's handled. It's handled. It's handled. I am Melissa Jakes, CEO and founder of Rescue Event Planning, the Olivia Pope of live events. Consider your next event handled.
Excellent. If you want to have your event handled, if you don't want to have to deal with things on your own because you only have two arms, my goodness, you want to get Olivia Pope. Ooh, the Olivia Pope. Rescue Event Planning. You want to have them, Melissa Jakes, handle your events for you. So head on over to rescueeventplanning.com. We want to thank them for being sponsors of our show. And now, William, so you have this stuff that is happening to you. You navigate the all of the attention, and now you see some other things. I think one of the things you said earlier in the show was, if you're not interested in it, if you're not finding joy from it, if it's making you frustrated just to wake up and do it, then you need to rethink it a little bit. So
yes.
What do you begin to do to find joy in what you're doing again? What did you begin to do then?
Well, I tried many different things in my life. Besides entertainment and singing, I tried real estate investing. I tried to learn about stocks. I tried video games, tried to be a video game streamer. But ultimately, I decided on poker because this is a game that gives me the natural motivation to become the best version of myself. It's almost like a self journey. I'm not competing against other people. I'm competing against myself to figure out, okay, who do I have to become in order to be successful both on and off the field?
Wow, I love that question. Who do I have to become in order to be successful? So you start to, you decide that you're going to do. What are some of the things that you begin to do now in order to make you yourself who you need to become? Where do you start searching? How do you become better at poker to the point where you can become a professional?
So in terms of like the high 30,000 foot view, I would say that what I do differently is I train myself to study like software solutions. I do like simulations. It's almost like combat simulation before you go to war. And that's very different from just casually reading books, watching some videos online.
Yeah. So you do this professionally now. Have you entered the World Series of Poker on ESPN? What does it mean to be a professional poker player?
Well, I think that it just boils down to every time I play the game, my goal is to make money from the game. So I did try the glory events like World Series of Poker 5 to 6 years ago. But now I even move past that because I realized that poker is only part of my journey. It won't get me to the final destination.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about how you infuse your poker with your speaking and your motivational talk, because now you do quite a bit of that. You speak to audiences. So tell me a little bit about how you marry the two, poker and your speaking.
Well, my new signature talk, I focus on how to apply the three winning principles that you can apply in order to live the life you want. So I apply the three principles. It'll be like number one, focus on what you can control. So that's the story you heard about American Idol, how I respond to the judges. And then number two would be quality of your actions determine the quality of your results. So I cover that in terms of the way I study, the way I get better at the game compared to most other people. And then finally, the last one. So you have the focus on you have to focus on the facts. So the fact is that, you know, in poker, even though I'm very grateful for what this game has given me, I'm still trading time for money. You know, this is not the way for me to get to my secure future. It's more like, you know, I'm making more money than any day job and most businesses can. But at the same time, I realize this is not sustainable for the next, you know, 10, 20 years. And so that's why I'm already thinking ahead. Okay, well, you know, since I earned this money, I need to be smart about it. I need to, you know, put it into real estate, stocks, you know, upgrade my skills, you know, that, like, you know, figure out what I can do to make that bigger impact, to deserve more money, to attract more money. So one of my dream ideas, you know, like if money and resource is not an issue for me, I would love to create a game where people can try out different side hustles without wasting so much time and money.
Wow. Wow. I think it's important that you shared that, because a lot of times people see people on TV or they see them in the media and they don't recognize that they themselves are still on a journey, right?
Yes.
You've gone through these different stages and you're still reinventing yourself. You haven't satisfied yourself, or you haven't become complacent in one area saying, yep, World Series of Poker or poker is it. You're looking at different ways to even level up further, go higher, increase your wealth, increase your reach. And that's amazing. So tell us a little bit about your book. You have a book, Champion by Choice, that you released a couple of years ago. Tell us a little bit about that book, and, you know, maybe the main message that you're trying to share with people in that book and where people can go to grab that.
Sure. So I wrote a book called Champion by Choice. And the reason I wrote this book is because I want to share my entire journey from start to finish. I feel that I couldn't do that with any one interview or any one speech. It's just too much. So that's why I want to detail my whole journey. And then in terms of what you can learn from the book, there are three keys to become a champion: communication, context, and connections. So very straightforward, and I want to just leave a legacy. So my intention for writing this book, I know it's probably not gonna be a bestseller, but whoever reads it, you know, they love it, you know, like and Amazon, it's like all 5-star reviews, which is amazing, you know. So it's all like right from the start, I knew this is not gonna. I'm probably not gonna make it like sell like 100,000 copies anytime soon.
Right.
So, but that's not the point, right? And the point is that, you know, I want to put this written form of my journey out there.
Love it, love it. So you've given us a masterclass today in mindset and confidence, and really how to operate in the face of uncertainty. So I want to thank you for that. So why don't you share with us as we wrap here, what's the best place for people to touch bases with you or to connect with William Hung to learn more from you and about you?
The best place is go to my Instagram, William Hung Official. I have a link tree site there. You can find all the links to my books, to my TED Talks, to my upcoming events. My new site, williamhung.net, is still under construction at the moment. I'll let you know when it go live.
Awesome. William, it's been fantastic hanging out with you today. Listen, I don't know if you heard what William said, but he has given us golden nuggets, a masterclass in how to navigate life. If you have something that's ahead of you, start thinking, okay, what's the worst that can happen? And then give yourself the grace and give yourself the courage to go through that situation, knowing that you're going to make it out alive, you're going to make it out okay, and that whatever happens, you can move forward. You can move forward, step forward, because you're the one that's inside of this. You're the one that is living this. You don't always have control of it, but you have control about how you respond to it. So remember what we said at the end of every episode. Everything that happens to you in life is your stuff. Your stuff is your story, and your story deserves a stage. We'll see y'all for part two of this doubleheader What's My Story podcast at 2:30 today. See you soon.